All right, welcome to this spring training filler edition of Side Retired, where Dylan and Nico don't have much else to talk about. So we're here with a fun baseball topic. So let's get right into this. Hello and welcome to this edition of Side Retired. It's Dylan Campione and Nico Fernandez as always. And we are bringing the energy to you guys tonight, even if Major League Baseball itself is not. But before we get into the fun topic we're going to be discussing, Nico, how you
We are in the dog days of spring
doing?
training. There's nothing to talk about. So let's make some fun. I'm happy. Let's make something happen. Let's have a good time.
I'll admit it, something I didn't want to admit last year. WBC is fun and
Yes,
has.
it is.
We had content to talk about. Now, was it Edwin Diaz
That
tearing his
should have been
knee
our
and being
talk
out for the
about how the
year?
WBC is so much better than this stupid spring training.
Well, we did have Edwin Diaz trotting out to the trumpets, and we did have Blake Snell being rumored to only want $66 million, and JD Davis is an Oakland A, but we figured that's not enough to cover an episode and deservedly so. I don't think you guys want to hear us talk about why JD Davis picking the A's over the Mets was a good decision for him to get regular playing time. Instead, we're going to enter the world of hypotheticals, which we love to do in spring training, but we're going to go a little bit of a different direction. The question, I feel like I've been starting episodes off like this a lot recently. The question is simple, Nico. If you were Team X and you could add any player from the past, who would it be and why? And I think I'm going to throw in a caveat to this rule. For example, it has to be the player on that particular team. For example, Ricky Henderson got a cup of coffee with the New York Mets and the New York Yankees when he was 42 years old and wasn't particularly great. Now, would the Yankees love to have prime Ricky Henderson on their team? Absolutely. But he wasn't prime Ricky Henderson when he was with the Yankees. So I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you don't like this rule, it has to be the version of that player on their
Yes,
team.
absolutely. I think that, I think Ricky Henderson wasn't the best example because Ricky Henderson was actually pretty good with the Yankees, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
But I completely agree. Like, I'm not taking,
Prime, yeah.
I'm trying to think of like a better example now. Like, who's a guy who like played at the end? Like, I'm not gonna take
Like, I'm not
LA,
gonna, yeah.
I'm not gonna take Albert Pujols for the Dodgers.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Well, let's do today. We're gonna do the AL, which means that we'll get to fill up another episode in the future with the NL. But we're gonna
Dang.
start off with the Baltimore Orioles. Who are you taking?
Okay. So, like, these we were talking a little bit about before. Like, we're kind of going to go back on and forth. I think the Orioles, they have Burns, so they don't need a starter. Like, is the way to go, like, a starter, like a guy, like, maybe like Jim Palmer?
That's
Like,
what I was thinking.
I think that's the move. 'Cause, like, okay, let's go around there. Catcher, obviously not. I mean, if they're calling up Jackson, not really touching that infield, maybe an outfielder, like
Could argue
yo,
Frank Robinson?
Frank Rock, prime Chris Davis at first.
Could. Because in theory,
No.
their infield is set with Westberg, Gunnar, and Jackson Holliday. So while Cal Ripken and Brooks Robinson are likely the most famous
Absolutely, yeah.
Orioles, I think personally you put Jim Palmer up there with
Yeah, you gotta
Corbin
put Jim
Burns.
Palm. And he's exactly like, I think he's the perfect like thing to come off of Corbin Burns. He's like, he has the splitter, which is completely different from anything that like Corbin Burns throws. Like, as much as we can talk about how Cal would be phenomenal playing with like these young guys, and I would love to see like a guy like Cal like just mentoring young guys. But if we're talking about the team, it feels like they need another arm.
As much as Frank Robinson would undoubtedly be the best outfielder on the Orioles, Mullins, Hayes, Santander with Heston Kjerstad isn't the worst group either,
Yeah.
with Enrique Bradfield coming up soon. So give us the starting pitching. And speaking of starting pitching, who are the Boston Red Sox adding to their
I
team?
mean, we don't even, I mean, the bigger question here is just, do we want to go with Pedro? Do we want to go with Roger Clemens, or do we want to go with Curt Schilling? I think, as a biased, my favorite pitcher of all time is Pedro. So I think we go with Pedro because he's my favorite pitcher. Me and my dad, if we were like ranking, we like whenever we're on road trips, we rank guys and we're like, oh, if we're doing like a Space Jam type baseball game, like who do you put on the mound? First guy that always comes to our mind is Pedro. So like Pedro's my guy. I think if you look at the Red Sox, the one thing, and I've said it a million times on this podcast, and I'll continue to say it a million times, but whoever you want in the lineup, they're gonna hit. We can't pitch to save our lives. So Pedro would be a phenomenal addition.
The only argument, not the only, but Clemens did play double the amount of time with the Red Sox. He played 13 years versus Pedro, yeah. 7. But at his prime, Pedro had a, like, I think it was a 170 ERA 1 year. Clemens did have a 193 in 1990, yeah. And a 2.48 in 86. But again, you're splitting hairs. The Red Sox need a DH, or they need a starting pitcher. Obviously, Big Poppy and freaking Ted Williams would be an amazing add to the middle of this order. So if you say Ted Williams to be the cleanup hitter for the Boston Red Sox, no one's going to be yelling at you. But
you know what they also need? You know what would be a good person? There was this guy. He won an MVP with them. Like, he was an outfielder. Imagine if, like, one of their legends, like Mookie Betts, played for the Red Sox. Oh, wait. He did. We just didn't pay him.
How about a team that probably has the most legends to choose from? The New York Yankees.
I don't want to go Clemens because I feel like it's – I don't feel like – kind of how we're talking about Ricky Henderson, it doesn't seem like – obviously, whichever team – Roger Clemens, he won like a Cy Young, which seems, yeah, like every single team he played for. So that kind of feels unfair. If we're going starting pitching, I feel like – again, I feel like I don't want to go pitching because that would be 3 in a row pitching, but Pettit would be a pillar of consistency that this team would need in their bullpen, in their rotation, especially now. Let's see. I think –
I'll shout out the two older pitcher guys, Whitey Ford, Ron Guidry, solid ads as well.
Yeah, very solid. I mean, we can go, there's a lot of places we can go. We can go shortstop. I mean, I know Volpe's there, but again, Jeter, obvious pick. Actually, I think the pick's A-Rod.
I don't hate it. That was one of the, if I was going offense,
yeah,
A-Rod did come to my mind because the outfield, Ruth, Mantle, DiMaggio, obviously they're better than Alex Verdugo, but A-Rod's not a bad pick. You could also go Yogi Berra as a catcher to replace Jose Trevino. That's a massive upgrade there. Going off the board.
What's the bigger upgrade? What do you think is the biggest, like, net upgrade?
I've gotten very sneaky one because I think this is the only one of this position that will do. And that is Mariano Rivera's the pick. Because the Yankees with Mariano Rivera were locked down for 24 years, pretty much.
And this is like why it would be great to have like Henry on, is like Clay Holmes enough.
Now,
but at the same time, like, you're getting the GOAT.
You're getting the greatest reliever of all time to be in the middle of your bullpen. And the Yankees offense, like, this is already a very good team that, like, I can't believe this is probably when people stare at us like, you're going to talk about Babe Ruth. Really, guys? Whatever, we are. You add Mariano Rivera to a team that's going to be, like, he could pitch the 8th and the 9th, and he proved for 20 years that he could handle in the postseason. Talk about an upgrade to a team that thoroughly,
I mean,
needs some pitching. Andy Pettit or Mariano Rivera, who makes a bigger impact on a team? It's got to be Mo. The Yankees, I mean, don't have a dominant pitcher. That
I agree. I think, actually, now that I think about it, imagine having Mo instead of Chapman, yeah, in the ALCS. I mean, being dead serious, like, we're talking about a completely different Yankee storyline of like the 2010s. The whole thing is that it seems like no matter what happened, they couldn't get over the hump, and Altuve was eventually going to hit an 8th inning, 9th inning, or 7th inning bomb. And that's not happening if Mo's on the mound. Actually, you're getting me into this one slowly. I like it.
I did like the A-Rod pick. I think people sleep on how good A-Rod was as a New York Yankee winning MVP.
People sleep on how good A-Rod was, period.
Yeah.
Like, look, obviously he had the – and this is, like, kind of why I wanted to do this topic, because, like, we can kind of go wherever. Like, A-Rod is – obviously had the steroid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Easily top 10 player of all time.
Yeah.
In my,
yeah.
Like
avoiding like steroids enough, like just purely metric numbers. Yes.
Easily.
3,000 hits, 700 home runs, pretty much.
Yeah.
Good glove defense at short. Mm-hmm. Very solid at third base. Fast when he was young.
Let's keep A-Rod. Let's put Mo, because we may have to use A-Rod again.
Good call. I feel bad going from the stacked New York Yankees to figuring out what solid player from the Tampa Bay Rays history we're going to throw. I feel like Longoria is the obvious pick because the Rays lineup is very weak.
There's a couple ways. Okay, let's
pitching.
Pervis is at third. Right. Obviously, like prime Silbrist, prime Carl Crawford. What's their outfield looking like?
Their outfield right now is a Rosarena, Lowe, and Jose Siri. So in theory, slot Brandon or Carl Crawford out there. That's a solid upgrade. Fred McGriff at first base wouldn't be bad either.
Prime David Price.
David Price is a good. Blake Snell won a Cy Young. You know.
I feel like we just got to give it, even though like most of them were looking for fit. This one, I think there's a clear guy who's better than everyone else. Like Longoria in his prime is Tampa Bay.
I mean, there's another guy that they wish was still on their team that could fit this
you can conversation slide as well. Sure.
Yeah. moving on. Toronto Blue Jays. I think our recency bias is going to come into play because there are a lot of good Blue Jays from the 1980s, such as Joe Carter and guys like that. But I think we're going to come down to the argument of prime Roy Halladay versus prime Josh Donaldson versus prime Jose Bautista versus prime Carlos Delgado were the four that came to my mind initially.
Yeah, I think, okay, because where my mind's going right now is I think Delgado's the play for the simple reason of I'm thinking of their bats, and it feels very righty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We have Vladdy, we have Bichette, we have Springer,
Kirk. Your boy JT's there now.
Yeah, that's right. Terrible, terrible. Again, on the Sox. Very righty heavy. And that's, again, like, fit-wise, I think it's either Halladay where you give, again, an ace. But, again, they have Gausman, so they really need that ace. And if we're talking about biggest, obviously, we could really make the argument that every single team needs pitching.
Yeah.
Like, but that would be a boring freaking episode. So I personally like the Delgado pick. The only thing that scares me about the Delgado pick is what do you do? I guess you'd slide him to DH.
Yeah. Or no, Delgado was good at first base, so you slide Vladdy to DH.
Vladdy to DH. Like, yeah. One of those two would have to DH, but from just a lefty bat perspective, it seems like they need a lefty bat in their lineup.
Joe Carter's a Hall of Famer. That's not a bad pick. I'll go with Roy Halladay just because dominant pitcher. We saw how good the Arizona Diamondbacks of the early 2000s with Schilling and Randy Johnson were, so give me a Gausman and Roy Halladay duo and call it a day. Minnesota Twins. Is it the simple Hall of Famer pick with Joe Mauer slotting behind the plate? Is it Justin Morneau? Is it Kirby Puckett? Is it like Walter Johnson from the 1900s? Although I don't know how we deal with that situation. Johan Santana.
Rod Carew.
I think it's Joe Mauer just because prime Mauer was an MVP at the catcher position, which is probably something that only 4 to 5 people can say they did.
I would probably agree. I think especially who's their catcher slotted in isn't anyone.
It's Ryan Jeffers and Christian Vasquez.
Yeah.
Another
Red Sox. Yeah. We're just going to go through like Red Sox people who didn't get paid by the Red Sox. It's a great episode. But again, Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Chris Paddock? Like, what's their...
Yeah, according to our trackers, Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Chris Paddock, Bailey Ober, and Anthony DeSclafani. I chopped that based on some side-retired stuff, but yeah.
So it's like, what do you think they need more? Johan Santana? Because I don't want to do Walter Johnson. Just because, no. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we're getting his velo by him racing a car.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how hard he threw. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's either Johan, or do they need... Because the thing is, they also aren't, like, a very high average team after losing Arias.
No.
And just having that pillar of consistency of, you know, you're going to get a 330 hitter.
I think it's Mauer.
It's got to be Mauer. Like, we're dancing around. It's Mauer.
Cleveland Guardians. You can go again. Really old Bob Feller.
I know you want
to. You can go the 90s guys, Kenny Lofton and Omar Vizquel. Of course, you're thinking I'm going to say Francisco Lindor.
That's who you want.
I kind of do. You could make the argument. I'm going to make the argument for this team has lacked power hitting for
Don't do it.
ages, and we didn't use Jim Thome on the Twins.
I
So
like Tony.
Jim Thome with the
That's not who I thought you
Guardians.
were gonna go with.
I
Like,
also love my guy that I love and adore, and if we're taking a prime 2 years, Albert Bell was
Albert
electric during
Bell,
those 2 years.
06 Travis Hafner.
Yeah.
I know it's 1 year, like where he was like that guy, but I remember using him and I would be the show. It was a walking home run every single time I used him. But I think again, if we're going at that, I think it's Jim Thome because again, Jim Thome is everything Travis Hafner was, just way better, and he's a Hall of Famer. And again, I think for a lot of these teams, the need is very clear. And I think this one, they need offense. Their pitching's kind of set. Give them Jim Thome. Give them that pop.
Corey Kluber's
We'll
not a
find a
bad
spot.
pick too. Multiple Cy Youngs.
Yeah.
Young Manny Ramirez.
Manny, bro.
Carlos
That
Baerga. But yeah,
would
it's
look.
gotta be. They haven't had a power hitter since Jim Thome, arguably. Consistently. Obviously,
Yeah.
Lindor had some power and Hafner had a year or two, and Albert Bell had a year or two, but Jim Thome is a consistent Hall of Fame caliber slugger. How about the Chicago White Sox?
I mean,
There's
they need
some
it.
old names like Nelly Fox and Lou Backling and Manny Mignoso and Eddie Collins and Ed Walsh, but their photos on baseball records
Actual
are black and white.
question, if we gave them all their all-time people, do they win the World Series?
If we give them all their guys from the 1900s, yes.
Are you sure?
Now, Nelly Fox has never seen a pitch above 60 miles an hour in his life.
And I don't want to get again, it's a spring training thing, so we can get into this because I'm gonna be honest. I'm just here to talk. We're talking. How do you stand on the 1900s versus
In this debate, it's got to be Frank Thomas, right?
no, but like just apart from that.
Like I respect the game that they played because that was how the game was played back then. But it's impossible. Like even the whole like, oh, is Babe Ruth a better player than Barry Bonds? Their worlds are just so different. And especially with like some people that are like, oh, well, Babe Ruth would drink in the morning and then play his games in the afternoon. Well, if Babe Ruth played baseball right now, he wouldn't. He'd be on the biogenesis and
That's
he'd
my
be
whole
doing all that
thing.
stuff. Like he wouldn't be drinking before the game. He'd be doing the plyometric workouts. Like there would be no way, it's just how baseball was, that they'd be a farmer in the morning and then they'd go play baseball in the afternoon. That's just, it's not their fault. It's the way the game was played back then.
Exactly. I mean, that wasn't enough to make a living, but in short, on that little tangent, it's Frank Thomas.
The only other two that I'll give a shout out to, Mark Burley, if they wanted some pitching,
Was gonna be mine.
and Chris Sale in his prime. Could you go Carlton Fisk, Paul Konerko, of course, gets a shout out. Shoeless Joe Jackson, if you want to go really, really old. But that's the problem with this is the first team that we've had that like not good. So
Yeah,
what do you
seriously.
in our fake world, do the White Sox get to trade a guy for prospects? So they take a young guy like Mark Burley and trade him for a lot of pitching prospects and revamp their system. Now we're just in extreme fiction world.
Hypothetical.
But let's get to the Detroit Tigers.
There's a lot of guys here. I feel
The
like there's like.
two recent ones are Miggy and JV. Then you have the pillars of the franchise and Al Kaline, Alan Trammell, Lou Whitaker, Jack Morris. You've got the overarching figure that everyone knows in Ty Cobb, but enter our argument of guys that played when there wasn't a thing as a TV. What you got?
This is the first one where. Like, this is the first one where I think there's gonna be one more when we get to it in the NL. Maybe there's a couple others that I'm not thinking of. I feel like you gotta go with the most recent guy. I mean, we're talking about a triple crown winner on that team. I believe he won two MVPs with them, or he won one, only one.
Miggy won
Like, again, he had the triple crown. I think he led in doubles a couple times. Like, just a complete hitter. He had it twice. Like, just a complete hitter. I think that apart from all the context stuff we talk about, maybe Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb will be the only one. He's the modern Tiger GOAT. And
Yeah.
it's perfect. He would get imagine like prime Miggy coming up with like this young people that are like him still being able to play third with Spencer Torkelson coming up, Riley Green coming up. Tariq Skubal is starting to get going. Maybe they go and like maybe cash in on these guys and kind of make a couple moves like they did when they got Prince Fielder. They got Ian Kinsler. They got David Price. Like imagine them doing that again. Like because they had Prime Mickey with all these young talent. Like low-key be it would be fun because you're getting the same thing that we're kind of talking about with Maurer. You're getting a guy who's just going to be hitting at an elite level for 6 years.
Well, that's why I wouldn't mind the Verlander or Scherzer pick, but then I brought up the numbers, and I'm not a big numbers guy, which is ironic, but Miguel Cabrera's career WAR is 70. Inner circle, career Hall of Famer, no doubt. Would you like to take a guess as to what Ty Cobb's career WAR is? And I'm fascinated how they calculated WAR for those guys. But Miggy's at 70. What is Ty Cobb at?
What is my guess that would make you like, can I get like a 5 on each side? Like, sure. My guess is 106.
So he had a career WAR of 151. So,
like,
so he doubled Miggy. Again, I have no clue how they calculated like defensive WAR
but, like, you
for
can't
guys that
tell
played
me.
In the 1900s. Ty Cobb actually only finished in the MVP voting once in the top 5. Just fast.
Like you can't tell me that like even Trout at his prime was not double. Even Ohtani at his is not double the player that Miguel Cabrera in his prime was. I'm sorry, it's just not true.
Wow, Ty like, Cobb's last year in the bigs, he posted a 930 OPS.
Dude, he hit 400 like every year.
He hit 366 on his career. What are we deciding? The old guy that
no
somehow is great. Or
I mean, if you really want to get into fit, Riley Green's playing center and Kerry Carpenter's playing
I move Riley Green to make room for Ty Cobb. Margaret Verlander versus Cabrera. Yeah, playing it simple.
Cabrera. Give me Cabrera.
Kansas City Royals. I almost don't want to have the debate. It's George Brett. Anything else you say is wrong. Plain and simple.
The only thing would be like Granky, but no.
Yeah, but even the fit, third base is wide open for the Royals with Michael Massey exactly. There right now.
Yeah. Great, easy. Great. George Brett. I mean, just keep him away from the Pine Tar. Like,
how about the Houston Astros? You've got the 90s kids of Biggio and Bagwell and Berkman and Carlos Beltran. And then you have Mike Scott and all his sticky stuff he put on the baseball. And then you've got Roger Clemens. And in theory, you've got Carlos Correa.
See, now's where we play like the little game because I feel like the guy who I want to say, I feel like is better for a different team.
Okay.
So I don't want to say him. But at the same time, if you've been looking at the rumor mill, the Astros are telling you who we should take. So I feel like is here where we use Roger Clemens?
Well, we didn't use him for the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Jays. So
if there's a time to use him, if even though like this was, I know he won a Cy Young, but wasn't this like the back half of Clemens' career?
It's the big debate I'm having right now is Clemens with the Astros, because again, that's the rule we established. And Clemens with the Astros in 3 years. Wow, he only played 3 years with the Astros, but he put up a 2.4 ERA.
God. How many Cy Youngs?
Won the Cy Young in 2004 with them, finished third in the Cy Young with them in 2005. Then in an injured year, had 120 innings and a 2.3 ERA in his third and final year, where he somehow didn't get a single Cy Young vote despite 120 innings and a 2.3 ERA. And then he left. So that was his brief little tenure with the Houston Astros, was a Cy, a third place Cy, and a sigh if he wasn't injured season.
Yeah, but he didn't do enough. Like, it's just 3 years.
So is it Mike Scott, who had a very good career with the Astros?
Because there's only one person. There's one other person, but I feel like, again, I would just say.
Oswald?
But Mike Scott won the Cy Young. So
Mike Scott won a Cy, too.
That's what I'm saying. That puts him over
he Roy. He pitched to a 2-2-2 in 300 innings.
In my opinion, that puts him over Roy, who's like a dependable starter. Because the thing is, but again, can't you make the argument that, especially with Verlander being hurt, not knowing what a lot of people are down on Framber this year, Christian Javier, you don't know what you're going to get out of him. The one thing you need is kind of a consistent starter.
Or is this the spot for Nolan Ryan, who posted 9 years in Houston and had a 3.13
That's
ERA
what
in 2,000 innings?
I was saving him for Rangers.
That works too.
That's my whole thing. That was going to be my guy. But I feel like saving, I mean, is there, I got, we can kind of do two and one.
Nolan Ryan, okay. Nolan Ryan, this is going to sound crazy of me to say, wasn't that good with the Rangers.
You really?
3.5 ERA in 5 years.
Then
versus a 3.1 in 9 years with the Astros.
Then the struggle with
versus a 3 in 8 years with the Angels. So I don't think the Rangers are the team we have to worry about with Nolan Ryan.
So I think we put him with the Astros.
And the Angels, I'll give you a spoiler. The Angels is Ohtani. like as much as we want to be creative with that one, the guy the Angels wish they still had on their team is Shohei Ohtani. So I think this could be the spot that we insert Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, let's do Ryan here, and we'll struggle with the Rangers.
Okay, the next team we have up is the Oakland A's.
Again,
one guy ain't saving this team, but I think it's Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, it's good. We talked about him a little bit. I mean, just from a bias perspective, Ricky Henderson's still so ahead of his time. Like Ricky Henderson is like walked. So, like, all the people who are swaggy now could run. Like, his pimp jobs. Like, the people don't realize how much pop he had. Like, he hit up for a lot more power than people really realize because he was just so fast.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to get the most complete player that will help the most just in all facets, it's going to be Ricky Henderson. Shout out to Jimmy Fox.
Yeah, Jimmy Fox, Reggie Jackson, Mark McGuire, Dennis Eckersley, Jose Canseco, Catfish Hunter, Vita Blue. But, yeah, it's Ricky. Another easy one. Griffey with the Mariners. Imagine an outfield of Griffey and J-Rod.
It's got to.
We already used A-Rod.
No, we didn't.
We used Mo.
It could That's be wild.
Except is A-Rod on the Mariners better than Griffey on the Mariners? Like A-Rod's entire career, that's a fascinating debate. Is A-Rod or Ken Griffey Jr. the better overall baseball player? But A-Rod on the Mariners.
Finished he won an MVP.
No, he did not. He won that with the Texas Rangers. Maybe that's a Rangers.
Yeah, it's got to be Griffey.
Maybe our Rangers pick is A-Rod, who finished in MVP first, second, and sixth in his 3 years with the Texas
Rangers. And where are you gonna put him, Dylan? I understand
the Rangers third base, and Josh Jung moves to first base, and Nate Lau can DH or get DFA'd for A-Rod.
Yeah, because the Rangers just have no pitching. Like it would be great to put a pitcher for them, but prime CJ Wilson.
You Darvish?
But yeah, I think if A-Rod didn't win the MVP with the Mariners, weirdly enough, I was trying to save him for this guy, but it seems like he's not going to get on. Feels like it's Griffey.
I think it's got to be Griffey. Randy. I know Randy's the interesting one of maybe it's Ichiro.
Ichiro's a good shout. You see, now, here's where we can get into real hypotheticals.
Yes.
Thinking of the lineup, who fits better, Ichiro or Griffey?
Randy Johnson, by the way, much better with the Diamondbacks. So he fits
better. He was very good with both.
It's a 2.80 ERA versus a 3.4. Solid in both areas. But
like, who fits the lineup better?
J-Rod's dynamic enough that he could be one or three in the order. Depends if you take Ichiro or Griffey.
But again, there's Griffey hitting one and there's Griffey hitting three. Like there was
Griffey
two
hits three versions. And J-Rod bats lead off versus Ichiro bats lead off and J-Rod hits three. Promise is another lineup that is not good enough with just one guy getting added. Can we right the wrong and say they have Alex Rodriguez, except this time they trade him rather than letting him walk into free agency and rebuild their entire team?
Dylan just wants to be a GM and just trade everyone.
I do. Imagine the franchise mode we could pull off where we just like new MLB the Show game. Maybe we just design these like amazing, insane rosters. Just go to town.
Dylan is like, this is how he thinks. He's like, okay. When I pick this guy, when I pick Frank Thomas for the White Sox, what haul can I get? Screw having him to help the team. Can I get Ethan Salas from the Padres? Can I get Jackson Holliday? Not sure. Like, that's all Dylan's thinking about. Dylan doesn't care about the actual team. Dylan's just thinking about prospect halls.
So who are we going with? Itro or A-Rod? Or Griffey? I think A-Rod's the Rangers.
I think we go Griffey.
All right, I'll agree on that one. Rangers, is it A-Rod? Is it Pudge? Is it Beltre? I think
Again,
A-Rod.
A-Rod's over
3 years.
Beltre,
It's
sadly.
3 years versus, is it, well, if we're talking 3 years, is it prime Josh Hamilton? Is it Juan Gonzalez? Michael Young?
I mean, I think it's better if it's 3 years. Again, I guess we're saying that just A-Rod's not going to make a list, which is just
Crazy
weird.
to think about. Hamilton
But
won an MVP with the Rangers.
Beltre didn't, but he played way longer. Did Pudge win an
Except
MVP?
do the Rangers really need AJ? As weird as that is to say, is Adrian Beltre really the spot that needs him? Pudge did win an MVP with the Rangers in 1999.
So I guess the question is, because again, Beltre or A-Rod's gonna slide in that third, or of
Yeah.
course he will go third, but
And then Josh Jung goes to first. Nate Lau goes to DH for Ezekiel Duran or whatever happens on that front
so
versus
is
Jonah Heim and Ivan Rodriguez. There's
what do
no
you
pitching. As much as I want to get a pitcher, there's we're using, and I think can we safely actually we can't say Nolan Ryan because we're saying that Nolan Ryan's the best Angel, but freaking Ohtani is going to be the Angel, so Nolan Ryan's not making a team
No,
either.
we did Nolan Ryan
Or
for the
Nolan
other.
Ryan's the Astros.
Lock in, Dylan.
Lock in. I would feel bad when we publish this graphic tomorrow morning and Alex Rodriguez's name is not on there.
Then A-Rod for Rangers. I agree. Look, you're not going to sit here and get me to not talk about how A-Rod, every team he played on, he could make an argument for. Which is weird for me to say because he's a Yankee, but.
And then that leaves us with the Angels. Is it as simple as
Like it
Ohtani?
is. It is. I mean, it sounds dumb. I feel like for the sake of the graphic, should we make a better pick?
Well, just think about it. With all these hypotheticals we've been doing about like how would the Yankees do with Mo on their team? How would the Red Sox do with Pedro? Wonder how the Angels would do with Shohei Ohtani. Oh, I know. They win 72 games every year and do jack squat.
Like,
But that's not his fault.
is there anyone that we can put?
No.
Jim Edmonds?
No, that's Cardinals.
Actually, I've
Tim
got it.
Salmon, Torii
I've got it.
Hunter,
They have a Cy Young Award winner.
Francisco Rodriguez,
Give me
Bartolo Colon.
prime Bartolo, Slim Daddy Bartolo Colon is our pick.
That's a heck of a graphic. All of a sudden, tomorrow morning,
We
people
can't
see.
put Ohtani as the graphic, Dylan. We can't. Like,
How did Bart win the Cy Young this year?
because he's shoved, Dylan. He's
He
Bartolo.
had a 4 ERA. It's because he won 21 games. It's when wins used to matter.
Exactly.
He had 150 strikeouts in 200 innings. He didn't have a single complete game. He didn't have a single shutout. Bart just won 21 games that year.
Who besides
2005 AL Cy Young. Who
Tim
else was in
Salmon?
contention that year? Oh, wow. Mo was actually the runner-up in the Cy Young that year
Really?
with a 1-3 and 67 games finished.
Snub. Snub.
And then Johan Santana was right there with an ERA, a full run lower than Bartolo, with 230 strikeouts, literally 100 more, and an ERA plus of 33 more. But no, Bartolo won 21 games, so of course he won the award. Bartolo's pitching WARF that year was 4. Johan Santana was 7.2. Yeah, Bartolo won the Cy Young that year.
Big Bart.
Oh, Big Bart, it's gotta be Ohtani. As much as I don't want it to be.
It sucks. I mean, a guy, we're talking about a guy that could win MVP and Cy Young in the same year.
Which Bartolo could too, but with his offensive prowess.
As long as James Shields is pitching, yeah.
But yeah, that's James Shields. Shout out to Tampa Bay Rays. It could have been a solid pick too. But no, I think it's Ohtani for the AL. But yeah, That's all 15 teams. We hope you enjoyed this little detour into the baseball world where we just spit out facts. I think this is a fun topic when it's a Sunday night and we're not sure what to record, where we start with a general concept for an episode. And then it turns into, not that interviews aren't really podcasts, but this is what podcasts were at the beginning, where it's you have a central question and then you just talk into a microphone for 30 minutes and you hope that you amuse your audience. So we hope that this conversation amused you. You heard some names that you probably didn't remember, like shout out Sean Figgins of the LA Angels and Seattle
No.
Mariners. But
Wow, Sean Figgins, what a guy.
let us know how you think this went. Shout us out, cidertardpod@gmail.com or at cidertardpod on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. If you want your picks to be featured in the future for the NL edition of this, that'll take place in roughly a week or so. But for Dylan and Nico, who's already on his phone, unless you have anything else to throw in.
I can't check my phone once. What are we doing here?
Well, we're logging off, so to quote you, lock in. But until the
Terrible.
next time. We have two great interviews coming up, by the way, so you won't have to deal with us lollygagging around for episodes. You'll actually have people with baseball knowledge coming on to talk to us in the next two episodes later this week. Watch out next month. Next Monday's episode might be the king of rambling episodes. We'll see
Maybe.
how that goes. But for Dylan and Nico, for the third time, I'll say it, the side is retired.